The rut, that magical time of year that requires patience, endurance, and precision to capitalize on that giant. At ICO Gear, we're continuing to innovate. From 100% windproofing to our dead quiet noise-canceling fabrics, our gear is designed to keep you better concealed and in the stand longer than ever before. When you're spending hours and hours, day after day, grinding it out, ICO is here to keep you hidden and comfortable. Shop ASIOgear.com.
The mobile hunter is obsessed with exploring unfamiliar places, and this is what our gear is designed to do. At Latitude Outdoors, we build mobile hunting equipment for hunters who like to move often and move fast. Whether you're an experienced whitetail hunter or new to the game, if you want to be mobile, we have options that are worth considering. Our saddles, climbing sticks, and platforms are made right here in the USA and are available at latitudeoutdoors.com. Thanks for checking out the gear, and good luck this season.
Welcome to the Life Outdoors Podcast. Our mission is to educate, entertain, and motivate. We speak life into and through the outdoors. Now join your hosts, Nate Bailey and Kate Bailey, as we navigate through the mountains of this life. Before we jump into this week's podcast, we'd like to invite you to partner with us to help us. If we've done anything to help you with the Life Outdoors podcast, there's one way you could help us, and well, there's a couple ways, but one big way that you could help us is by sharing this with other people and giving us a rating on iTunes or on Spotify and commenting. That those things will help this podcast get out to more people. Another way you can help is go to thelifeoutdoors.com, and that's with a Z on the end, thelifeoutdoors.com, and maybe purchase an item to help keep this on the air. That's how we do this. That's how we pay for it. So we just thought we'd bring this to you guys' attention. Now let's get into the podcast. Welcome to the Life Outdoors Podcast. We are titling this podcast, We Believe in Pack Goats. And the reason I'm going to title it this way is because of a post that I created in Backcountry Hunting and Gear on Facebook. It's a group on Facebook. It's a great, great group, by the way. But it's a group on Facebook. And I recently produced a video about my pack goats and what I've learned so far about them on our YouTube channel, the Life Outdoors YouTube channel. And I left that on that group, and I was surprised. So people were watching the video and commenting in the group, and I was absolutely surprised at how many people, honestly, haven't seen pack goats yet, or haven't heard about them, or didn't know a whole lot about them. And it blew me away. It really blew me away, because there's quite a bit of content out there about pack goats. If you look at packgoats.com and Mark Warnke and Russ Packs, those guys are putting out a bunch of content about pack goats and talking a lot about, you know, the benefits and where pack goats can be used. And even, you know, there's an association, the National Pack Goats, I can't remember exactly the name of it, National Pack Goat Association. But there's all these things that are out there, and people don't understand that much about them. I find it kind of unreal. And then after having pack goats, I find it really unreal. Let me find this link for you for the National Pack Goats Association. And they're doing a bunch of things for pack goating. And one of the big things that's going against pack goats right now are the fact that they're afraid that they might be transferring diseases to sheep. Pink eye being one big disease that could hurt sheep. But what a lot of people don't understand about pack goating is all of us pack goaters are testing our goats all the time, because we have to try to get our goats to be as big as we could get them. One of the biggest reasons we're trying to get them that big is because we're trying to pack as much as we can on each goat. So we're always testing our goats for different things. And so for people to actually think that pack goats, our goats, are creating problems up in sheep country. I think that that is kind of a misnomer about pack goats. Maybe there's some problems, you know, with a big group of goats that are not being tested and that people are not able, you know, big livestock groups of goats where people aren't able to test their goats and know exactly the health benefit. I mean, people that don't name their goats, let's just put it that way. They use their goats for different things. And I'm not against that by any means. I'm just saying that that might have more of a problem. But even then, there's been a lot of studies going on. And even then, some of those goats they found in a herd where they're not carrying any of these diseases. So it's one of those things where I think people are worried about because, you know, our sheep are really important in America. That's a huge thing that we cannot lose. So I get it, right? But I don't know. It's one of those things where we have to start looking at individual ideas. And one of the things about it is if we show a certificate of our goats being disease-free, I think they shouldn't close off areas to pack goats. Now, I know in Oregon there's not a problem with this, especially where I am going to take my goats. My goats are going in the Cascades. We don't have any sheep in the areas that we go in, so it's not even an issue. And a lot of the problems that are carried into the woods, that they say are carried into the woods, are actually in a lot of different animals. They're even in deer and elk. So it's kind of a weird situation, but that's not really the reason that I wanted to create this podcast. The reason I wanted to create it is to let you guys know that we have taken on pack goats. We're in fully. I have four goats. I have two Oberhasli Alpine mixes, and then I have a Nubian Alpine mix. And the goat themselves, I'm hoping they're going to finish somewhere around 200 pounds. Now, this is a long-term thing. You don't just jump into pack goats and say, I'm going to raise pack goats and then hope to put weight on them, you know, in the first year. You know, my hunting dogs, when I get them, they hunt within their first year. About the end of their first year, they're already hunting most of the time. That's not the same with pack goats. The thing about pack goats is you're getting a dairy goat. That's the breed. You're looking for a certain conformation. If you guys don't know this, there's a great course over on Mark Warnke's packgoats.com, and that course is really good about trying to pick a pack goat. Another thing is you got to be really, really careful on what you pick. Not every goat out there is going to be worth you putting in the 4 years it takes to get a good goat. Now, don't get me wrong, and here's the problem. Pack goats are such a cool animal that they're going to become your pet really quick, especially if you're bottle babying, which I suggest. If you get any kind of goats, you want to bottle baby, get them as bottle babies, and then they start associating you with being their mother and the leader of their herd. So you should do that. But if you do that, you get attached to them. These things aren't livestock anymore. They're actually your pets and something that you spend a lot of time with. So make sure that you look, look at pack, you know, at the best goat you could get for what you're trying to do. And, one of the biggest things I could tell you about doing that is find a good dairy breed, look for size, but look for legs. And Mark goes through this. Mark's the one that has pretty much brought a lot of this information to bear, but look at the legs of the goats and see how tall they are. They should be taller than the body. Another thing about them is there's certain conformation. I'll let you get Mark's videos and go through the conformation, but basically what it comes down to is you want to look for a goat that's going to be sturdy in the back end and can not so much sturdy, but has the right geometry that could handle the shock of going through the woods. Because if you're going to do pack goats, there's only one reason to do them, and that's to get stuff through the woods. And yeah, it's National Pack Goes Association, I think, is what it is. Well, I'll put the link in the show notes, but and then packgoats.com, I'll put that link in there too. But that's not really what we're here for. What I'm here for is I'm going to give you three reasons why I think pack goats are the ultimate packing animal for us backcountry hunters that, you know, run these elk camps and run a spike camp. Not, you know, that's kind of how we do things, is we tend to carry everything on our back. And there's some places that we go in that are 8-9 miles in. And I'm getting in my 50s now. I'm a grandfather. And not that I can't do it still. I still can. I still do it well. I got myself out of shape a little bit. I need to get back in shape. But I'm looking into the future. I'm looking at, you know, 65 to 75. I want to be able to still do this stuff. So pack goats are, and I don't need a big mule train either. I don't want to take care of horses in the woods. I don't want to take care of mules in the woods. I don't want to take care of llamas in the woods. So the three big reasons, I'll tell you what the three big reasons are first, and then I'll go into it from there, and I'll kind of explain those reasons. The first reason is pack goats are extremely easy. They're extremely easy to get, extremely easy to care for, and extremely easy to hunt with. Now, I haven't hunted with mine. Let me take that. I haven't hunted with them because they don't pack anything in for me, but I do take them with me. And I will hunt elk with them. Even though they're not going to pack anything for me this year, they're going to be up in the elk woods with me. Just because I think there's some advantages to it. And also, I think the goats need to get used to it. They need to get used to the bugling. They need to get used to all the stuff that goes on before I depend on them. So they're extremely easy. That's number one. Number two, they are extremely agile. They will go anywhere that you can go. I guarantee you a goat can go more places than you can go. And that's already been proven. I live in the woods, and I have huge boulders and stuff behind my house. And we go on walks all the time. And I got pack goats that are, my goats are just, I got some just over a year old, and I got some that are, 4 months old. And both of those guys, both sets of those guys could go, they go everywhere. They love to go those places. And the third reason is because they're extremely friendly. They are almost like man's best friend. They're actually easier a lot of times and more friendly sometimes than dogs can be. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my dogs. Cole, our duck dog is absolutely great. But I'll tell you, pack goats are really easy. They're really easy. So let's go back to number one and talk about what makes them so easy. Well, the first thing is they're cheap. My goats, and don't get me wrong, you should probably look. I think the top pack goat babies, so if you're getting little bucklings or dolings, and you're getting them from a really good breeder like Mark or some others out there, you could spend up to $750 for a goat, I think. But majority of them, I bet you're around $300. And that's with good genetics and people that have been pack goating for, you know, as long as pack goating's really been around in America. You should really look at how much a mule cost or a llama cost and then look at a pack goat. They cost a whole lot less. And quite honestly, I don't know. I've been around mules. I haven't never been around llamas other than just, you know, being around them. I've never hunted with them or anything else, but I've hunted with mules, and I ended up hunting mules long more than I was hunting elk, trying to get them back at times. So, you know, a good mule is worth its weight in gold, but I bet you there's only 5% of the mules that are good out there. And I know the guys that run them all the time, have real good luck with mules, and they like mules. But if you're going to have, like me, unless you're running them every day up in the woods or at least once a month up in the woods, they're just out in your field, and then they're going to blow up the first snake they come across, or they're going to blow up the first bear that they come across. And pack goats aren't that way. My goats, if something comes, so we've had several occasions when, you know, neighborhood dogs came in while we had the goats out, and those kind of things and why we're walking them. And the first thing they do is run to you. They don't run back to the trailhead, and they don't blow up, and they don't get all freaked out. They run straight to you, and then they circle you. Mine circle me and look straight ahead at the danger like they're going to protect me. And of course, they're looking for reassurance from me at the same time. But that's the cool thing about pack goats. Another easy thing about them is you don't have to pack food in for them. Now, that being said, we pack some goat pellets or something that will help get them their vitamins, you know, because you never know what all you're getting out in the browse throughout the forest. But they are extremely easy to take care of. One of the things, though, you got to watch is if you're feeding your goats, if you have to worry about, you know, keeping your goats in a small space or not in a wooded area, not in the same kind of ground that you hunt in, when you do take them out and they start eating all this green stuff, if you've just been feeding them hay, they're not going to be used to it, and they may blow it on you. That's the one thing. Well, and all animals. That's not just goat specific, but that's all animals. But I ran across a guy who, matter of fact, he was taking his goats in the same place that I'm really looking to take mine, and he had to come out because he had a goat blowed on him. So, and that's what that is, from having a goat that's staying in a barnyard and you're feeding it hay all the time, and it never gets to eat any kind of wet, you know, forage, because wet hot forage, you know, that has a lot of nutrients, creates a problem for goats because it'll ferment in the rumen. So if you, if my goats, I encourage them to eat that stuff around me, and I take them around, but not everybody's able to do that. You know, not everybody's lives in the woods like I do. So I take my goats and let them browse through and eat the same stuff that they would be eating in the backcountry. And it helps them get used to being able to, you know, go through that stuff. But if you just take a goat that's dry out there on hay and then put him right out in the middle of that, I bet you they're going to have, you know, at least have diarrhea on you. So that's one of the less things about, you know, you got to watch out for. But as far as being easy, they stake out easy. They don't take a whole lot of gear. It doesn't cost a lot of money to transport them. You can put them in the back of your pickup. They, a good size pack goat's going to haul around 50 pounds. So that's a lot. You know, my packs are under 50 pounds when I'm hunting for a week in the woods. And that's a lot of weight. So if you have four of those to haul 200 pounds, that's going to keep everybody going longer. Goats are pack goats. You know, the goats that you spend your time with are easy for people to be around. If they're trained properly, you got to spend your time with them. It's like a dog. A dog that's not trained is a pain in the neck. Same with goats, but they are trainable. So that's the first thing that I wanted to bring out, is how easy pack goats are. The second thing is how much agility they have. My goats choose when I let them out and let them free range. So here's the deal, is I back up to about thousands of acres of wooded properties. But this town that I live in just bought the property that's adjacent to mine. There's 400 and some odd acres there. And so there's a walking trail. It's an old railroad trestle, old log and railroad trestle. And we take the goats down that all the time. And off the side, when they built the town, they pushed all the big boulders off to the side of that trail. So I take the goats down to those big boulders. Or when I let them out, I live close enough, they want to go down there. They won't stray from me. That's another thing that makes them easy. Goats don't stray from you. If you raised them as babies, and then you take them on constant walks and you're the alpha of the group, they won't stray from you, which is cool. I mean, that's one of the best things about them. I could elk hunt with them untethered and not worry about them at all. Matter of fact, I think, and I've bought the goats that I got for the color that I got, because they look like miniature little elk. My big goats look like they have miniature spikes. And so when I'm calling bulls, they're going to be riding along with me. And I don't have I guarantee you the bulls, it'll make them at least a little curious. We already have deer come to us when I'm walking the pack goats. They come over to us, which is crazy to watch a deer, you know, and I have to keep back and when the dog's with us, of course the deer don't come in, but when I just have the goats, the deer will come right to us and they're curious about them. They don't quite know what to think about them. But, I'm sure when I'm bugling elk that having some elk looking animals up above me chowing, is going to probably help matters, just saying. But so with that, we got the pack goats. They're extremely agile. They love the rocks. My goats run towards the rocks or anything high, and they love to play on them. They love to jump. Matter of fact, you could just see them get happy when they see those rocks. They just get happy. They quit eating, and they start playing. And they will go through just about anything. Another thing is, you know, if you have a barnyard goat, you got to give him something to play on and make it really real for him. You know, a gray log that when it rains, it's going to get slick. Because they get to where they get used to that. They get knowing that. Like we got some big rocks that have moss on them. And the goats know with that moss on them that when they jump on it, that if they land in the wrong spot, it's going to slide off and they're going to fall off. And those are great lessons to learn before they start packing, to make them more agile. And they just come that way, though. If you get, you know, Alpines or Oberhassies or Hassley, I mispronounce that all the time. But anyhow, if you get these goats that were raised, you know, that their lineage comes from the mountains, the Swiss Alps and all this, they're built for this stuff. And they love it. They absolutely love it. Now that brings us to the third thing, and one of my favorite things about goats, and something that I did not know and my wife did not know, is when we got goats, how much we'd fall in love with these things. They are goofy as all get out, and they all have their own personalities, and they're just great goats. So I have four, like I said. They're all connected, so two of them, their dad is the grandfather of the other two that I have. So it's kind of weird how that works out. But anyhow, they all have a lot of very big Alpine in them. Their dad was in 225 range. And then I crossed into that Alpine. I didn't cross. The breeder did. Crossed a Nubian into, so like a 25% Nubian into the Alpine. And they got really Alpine features, but the big thing is that color. And then my other two were Oberhassley and Alpine, which brings that brown tannish color. That's something that I think is very important for my goats, because even if I have to tether them or whatever, when I'm moving through the country, in elk country especially, there's always going to be elk getting glimpses and things like that of you. And I don't want a bunch of white animals out there flagging everything. Because if you look in the woods, everything that's white in the woods equals danger. If you look at white-tailed deer, when they flap their, or even a black-tail, when they put their tail up, it's white. And that's because you can see it easily. So if you look throughout most of the woods, white means danger. And it's usually a flagging thing. So that's the reason that I really look for those tannish, brownish goats. Now, that creates a problem. I've been told that that creates a problem for predatory reasons, is when people see the, or when predators see that, they equate it with food, whereas the white, they don't so much. But I'll keep the goats tethered towards me and always have a bell on them at night. So if something comes around at night, they will ring their bells, I guarantee you. And I'll probably hear them yell at me before they ring the bells. They will let me know before whatever is coming around gets close enough. The goats are extremely adapted to their surroundings. I'll tell you what, when I'm taking my goats for a walk, they will let me know when there's something around before I know that there's something around. And it's pretty amazing if you just pay attention to what's going on, how well the goats know what's going on around them. So they're extremely friendly. The biggest, that's one of the biggest drawbacks of goats is when you want to camp and you're trying to sleep, the biggest problem that I'm going to have, I think, is the goats wanting to sleep with us in our tent. So I think I'm going to have to stake them out. Haven't done it yet. We're going to take them up here as little guys, and they're just going to go camping with us. They're just going to follow me. I'm not going to put any weight on them, and just let them camp with me and spend the night up there just so they get used to it. But in camp, man, can you imagine what it'd be like to be glassing bears up on top of a ridge and having the goats just kind of mingle around and goof off and come over and nudge you because they want to have their belly scratched or something like that. And they're not overbearing. You know how sometimes a dog could just be like, drive you nuts. Goats, my goats aren't like that. They do want their scratches and they want their love, but they're like a real mellow dog is what they are. And you just, you know, give them some love and then they're like, okay, good. I got my love. Dad loves me. I'm going to go do my own thing within eyesight of dad. They won't get out of eyesight. That's one thing that you'll find with, if you do it right, if you get that ingrained herd, ingrained into them, they will follow you, to the death, I'm sure. I mean, and I say that not, I'm pretty sure because whenever, you know, a strange dog or something comes around, they come back to me and circle me and, they're ready to fight. And so it's really cool to see that kind of thing go on. Another thing, a lot of people look at these goats and they think, oh my gosh, those are, you know, they don't have any idea of what they're doing. They're just an animal, just a stock animal. That couldn't be further from the truth. Each and every one of them has their own personality. We have Bo, which is our leader, and he looks mostly alpine. He's got big horns and they sweep out a little bit, but they sweep real tall. And then we have Melvin, and his name was Arrow when we got him. So it was Bow and Arrow, but we changed his name to Melvin. And the reason we changed his name to Melvin is because he acts like Melvin on Madagascar. You guys, if you've ever seen it, he's always worried about everything. He's kind of like the mother of the group. He's always watching the other ones, always making sure that there's no dogs around. And he's always nervous. He always seems nervous about what's going on around him. Now, Bo, he could care less. He if something comes really close, he'll whack it, but he could care less. And then we have Whiskey and Rye. And Rye, Whiskey and Rye are our Nubians, Nubian mixes. And Whiskey is, he's probably the sweetest goat that we've ever had. There's times when the other goats will be out feeding and he's over there just wanting to get his love from you. And then Rye, I think, is going to be the second command once he gets the size to be able to beat up on the other ones. Because he already is challenging the bigger goats, and to have a little guy doing that. And I think he's just that goat. He's got that leadership quality in him, which is good because I would like to see him take lead. He won't take lead over Bo, but I would like to see him at least be up in there because it just makes he follows me and listens to me really well. So those are the reasons that I really think that pack goats are probably the ultimate, especially the bow hunting, you know, backcountry, off your back kind of stock animal. I'm telling you guys, they are super easy to take care of. That you won't have to pack much food, just some supplements, and then water. They're like camels when it comes to water. They get most of their water from their food, and then they're completely agile. They will go anywhere. They'll go as many places as you could go. I guarantee you that they'll go more places than you could go. And then of course they are the friendliest animals that I've ever had, as far as other than dogs. I think they're right alongside dogs as far as how friendly they are. But with that said, there's going to be a whole lot more I'm going to go over a whole lot more of pack goading on this podcast. I need to get Mark on here and Rust on here from Rust Packs, and I need to get these guys talking on the podcast and let you guys know a little bit about, because I tell you what, these guys know way more than I do. I just started getting into this, and those guys are the experts in it. And it's a small community, but people are helping people in this community, and I think it'd be a great thing to get those guys on here and share some of their knowledge with you. And if you're looking at maybe extending your seasons like I am, that's basically what I'm looking at. Or maybe you want to have something to help you pack the meat out. Pack goats are really super easy. They're easy at home, they're easy out in the woods, and they're easy just to be around. So hopefully that helps you guys. I'm going to bring some more of the stuff out. I'm going to talk specifics here pretty quick as I learn them. So this is stuff that I'm going as I'm learning. I'm not trying to say that I know anything. What I'm trying to say is I've learned this so far about the pack goats, and I'm going to continue to do that as I keep continuing to learn. So with that, I appreciate you guys listening, and please subscribe to this podcast. We will keep bringing all the great stuff that we bring to you, all the instructional, all the help, all the spiritual instruction, you know, the stuff that we bring through our Bible studies, and the stuff that we bring through just our plain hunting, and how we like to share it all with you, because we believe that it all was created to be shared. So with that said, thanks for listening, and until next time, keep living. Thanks for listening to the Life Outdoors podcast. Join the Life Nation by spreading this podcast, or by going over to our YouTube channel, giving us a subscribe, or even by following us on Instagram. All these things help spread the life. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Keep living.
In wild country, rules were not created by man. In wild country, the challenge of what's outside brings you closer to what's inside. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, presented by Expedition Enterprises.
It's going to get a little hairy.
Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.